Okay, so the Gemara assumes that there are three configurations that is like a milsa de pshita. So what are they? Right. So in terms of evaluating the rabbinic licensure, right, that process, so we all know that, like, you know, it's in every industry, right? Like, my best friend made aliyah this summer. He's a physician, and was supposed to be a rabbi. So it's a complicated thing, right? He's licensed to practice medicine in the United States for many years, but it doesn't mean that he can practice medicine in Israel. You know, they have their own standards. So it's really interesting. The Gemara says, well, you know, Bavel's an entity. So rabbinic ordination in Bavel works in Bavel. Rabbinic ordination in Eretz Yisrael works in Eretz Yisrael. What's really interesting, Shimon, as you said, it's a milsa de pshita in the Gemara that what works? Right. So what do you make of that?
Especially meaning the Gemara gets the answer to the Raya, but especially changed because we described Eretz Yisrael with the Machlokes of Mikdash and Sanhedrin, and that's where everything kind of comes from.
Well trained. Okay. Yeah, very well done. So when you say the Gemara gives its answer, so what's the, how did you understand that?
It sounds like a din a lot in the people and the situation that they're in, not as much geographically, than Rashi says, but the powers that are given by the foreign government above El.
Ah, do you mind reading that, Rashi? Okay, that's excellent. Okay. Why don't we start with Lishkol Rishusa? Right. So this is what we call qualified professional immunity. If a person has official ordination, right, so then you know, a person is exempted from penalties that they might otherwise pay for making a mistake. Oh, okay. So that was the Rashi that you keyed in on. I think that you're right. Your instinct is correct, Shimon. That is the critical Rashi, that the Reish Galusa in Bavel has an enormous amount of authority because who stands behind his authority? Right. What does that remind us of? Something that we saw not that long ago, but earlier in this Zman, about, you know, like the true nature of power. And you evaluate how powerful somebody is and say, well, this person may or may not be that powerful. They're really just a... What if I said the Ron? Would that help? Okay. What if I said Malchus Beis Chashv? Yeah, Micah? Right. So the Ron said, first of all, I don't agree with the Ramban about Lo Yasser Shevim Yehuda Mechokek Biben Ragav, this week's Parsha. But even if I did, that really wouldn't be a problem because these people weren't kings. These people were just vassals. The real power resided in, you know, the various empires. So Rashi says, but that's exactly the point. So the Reish Galusa, Shimon, as you said, is backed by enormous authority. So he has not like Rashi describes the Nesi'im in Eretz Yisrael as having Srara Mu'etes, but the Reish Galusa in Babel has enormous power by virtue of the fact that the secular government stands behind what he does. Wow. Okay. So that might be one explanation of Mehacha Lahasam is Milsa the Pshita, because let's say Rashi picks out which halacha, Shimon, like as a manifestation of rabbinic power, what can they do? Seize assets, right? So apparently, you know, the Malchus Paras backing that up would be so effective, so as to be effective not only in Babel, but even in Eretz Yisrael, right? So if Rabbi Goldstein says that your money is no longer your money, and Darius or Xerxes or whatever it is going to stand behind that, and that's going to be efficacious as a practical matter in Eretz Yisrael. So there you go. Okay. But what about Mehacha Lahasam? That was the question of the Gemara. So let's see, what does Gemara have to say about that?
Mehacha Lahasam.
Right, it's a very different image. In Bavel, you have this image of power, Rodin es Yisrael b'shevet, literally beating them with a stick. Mechokek mi ben raglav, melamdim Torah b'rabim, an educational image, very different kind of an image that you have. Right, so Rabbi Chiya, the Talmud Bavak of Rebbe, is in Eretz Yisrael, and Rabbi Baruch Hanna was Dan Adin, and he made a mistake, and he asked Rabbi Chiya whether he has to pay out of pocket. And Rabbi Chiya's response was, if they did a Kiblu Alayhu, something we're very familiar with, if they said, we accept your judgments no matter what, you don't have to pay. And if not, then you have to pay. V'ha, so the Gemara is Medayik, Rabbi Baruch Hanna. Okay. So what's the Gemara saying? Despite the fact that Rabbi Baruch Hanna had Rishus from Eretz Yisrael, that it would not be effective where? In Bavel. And therefore, he could be on the hook unless they had this Kiblu Alayhu. Wow. Okay, so the Gemara goes further with that. Okay, so this is really interesting. This is sort of, if you remember, in grade school, if one kid says to the other, I'm going to kick you, and the other one says, yeah, but I'm going to beat you up, and the person says, anachanami, but my brother's going to beat you up, and that kid says, yeah, but my brother's been held back 7 times, and he's going to beat you up, and then he said, okay, but my father's going to beat him up, and then he says, yeah, but my uncle's going to beat him up, you know. This is how it went at BPY, right? But just in Hebrew. Yesh li Abba. Okay, so it sounds like what he's saying, you're not messing with me, right? Lav minaychu nakidna rishus, nakidna rishus me abamari, abamari me rav, rav me yichia, rabbi yichia me rabbi. So he says, you know, I have the true lineage. I have authority going back to Rabbi Yehuda Anasi in Eretz Yisrael. That makes it sound like that's like the nuclear option. Like, I have rishus from Eretz Yisrael, so don't tread on me. Cousins in the Israeli army. Nice. He'll be here tomorrow. Actually, he's already here. Nice. That's where you got the sweater, right? From the cousin? Okay. Okay. So the Gemara says, what's the response? It seems like a pretty good proof, right?
Bemilta da'alma.
Bemilsa. Try that again. Bemilsa da'alma. Who da'okim lehu? Meaning, what's this?
Just like saying.
He doesn't really have a cousin in the army, is what you're saying. Okay. Milsa da'alma who da'okim lehu. Okay. V'chem yachad lo mahani rabbi rachana rishus da'nakat lamali. But if it doesn't really work, so right? This isn't like a third grader who says, I have a cousin in the Israeli army. It's like, what actually was he trying to achieve? Why did he get that smicha? Was it just so that it looks good on the wall behind him? You know, he gets this ordination from Yehuda Hanasi. You know, what's this all about? So the answer is border cities, right? There's like this expansive definition of Eretz Yisrael, and that's really what we're talking about here. Okay. So this is an absolutely fascinating Gemara that seems to give the upper hand, right? No home cooking, but seems to give the upper hand to Bavel relative to Eretz Yisrael. But as Shimon correctly points out, maybe for somewhat technical reasons, we're not necessarily saying that they're bigger Talmidei Chachamim in Bavel, but again, what distinguishes them from their colleagues in Eretz Yisrael? The Persian government carries a big stick, right? Lo yasur shevet mi Yehuda. I'm very proud of myself for my timing for Parshas Vayechi here. You know. Okay. So let's take a look at the Tosfos that I asked to see. Dehacha shevet v'hasam mechokek. We have an amazing comment of Rabbeinu Tam. Oh. So it sounds like, you know, what's better? Bavel. This is a pro-Bavel Gemara. This is, you know, this is Bavel over Eretz Yisrael. Their rabbinic authority is greater. But, would you say it's the Talmud Bavli, right? That's what I was alluding to before, you know. It's a little home cooking. Right? So, you know, is that what this is? It's just like a home field advantage. Right? So we'll see that Gemara. So the Gemara Pesachim says that when we talk about going from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, since we're kafuf to them, you know, we practice like them, Avdinan Kavasayu, makes it sound like Eretz Yisrael is on top. Okay. Nice. Right, that even in our Gemara, Micah, even in the Talmud Bavli, it seems to concede that they're the greater Marbitzei Torah in Eretz Yisrael. So in terms of Torah knowledge, Shimon, whose primacy is recognized? Yeah. About the Indian have caused mama. The
Indian have caused mama on Liftar, the healthcare, based in healthcare, Adib Ibn Babel, the Ikru Shev and Sherodin Tam Bamakel, Ainu Haima Mishum de Rosh Golam Maskirin, the Nasi.
Try that one again. Mishum de Rosh Golam Mizacharim,
Nasi Sherezom, the cable, Kidam Rusham.
Oof. Micah, there goes your theory about, you know, the home cooking in the Bavli. Even in the Yerushalmi, they admit it. So there's a slight difference here between Rashi and Tosos that I wanted you to pick up on, Shimon. So according to Rashi, what's really the source of Babylonian rabbinic authority?
The
right. According to the Bali HaTosvos, Rabbeinu Tam in particular, Eitan, what's the distinguishing feature? They're bigger Talmidei Chachamim, they're bigger Marbitzei Torah in Eretz Yisrael, but in terms of rabbinic authority, they're greater rabbinic authority in Bavel. How does he explain that? He doesn't mention anything about Malchei Paras. Right. So he appeals to this Yerushalmi that they have greater authority because they're like, you know, Ish Achar Ish from David HaMelech. They bespeak Malchus. Right? And in Eretz Yisrael, they're only, you know, matrilineally descended from David. So that's less of an oomph. That's more like, you know, Harbatzas HaTorah, which is important. So here we have a really interesting idea. So Eitan, if I ask you to formulate it, that the rabbinic establishment in Bavel, for Rashi, has greater authority because they actually have kings backing them up, Malchei Paras, right? For Rabbeinu Tam, it seems to be rooted in the very office of the Reish Galusa having some kind of a din as Misora going back, Yasi?
It's like a
right. That's what you meant. Like, so going back, to the melech. Yeah. So I think it's absolutely fascinating. So saying the Reish Galusa, so he's like the melech. He's more powerful. Right? The Nasi is like a Torah-related figure. Nasi Shabaret Yisrael, Reish Galusa Bebavel. It's so interesting once you've mastered the Drashos Haran, right, to think about. Because what Tosos seems to be saying is something very similar. Yeah, in Bavel, the rabbinic authority is like more Midin Melech. These people were very powerful. They could beat you with a stick, keeping everybody in line. In Eretz Yisrael, it was more about, you know, their educational, spiritual prowess. They were Melamdei Torah Birabim. So it's really quite an extraordinary distinction in terms of sources of rabbinic authority. Wilkinson used to like to quote, you like this, Emmanuel? Laura Jacobowitz, who was the chief rabbi of the, say this right, United Kingdom and the Commonwealth. So he used to say that there's an inverse relationship. Wilkinson wasn't endorsing this, he just made us aware of it, between power and influence. You could be very powerful and get people to listen to you because you could coerce them to listen to you. Rodin Asan Beshevet. But you're not going to be very influential. You could be very influential and have no power whatsoever, right? This person can't tell a person or coerce somebody else to do that, but if they listen to you, it's based on the persuasion of the ideas. It's a moral suasion. It's a very interesting and I think very, you know, powerful kind of a distinction. So again, this is not to say that the Reish Galusa Chalila were, you know, Amei Haaretz, and it's also not to say that, you know, the Nisiim were, you know, completely impotent. Rashi does acknowledge that they had, you know, Srara Muetes, but there's clearly a distinction that is being drawn in terms of the relative, you know, power and authority of each. And that's the distinction that Rashi and Tosfos are both drawing, though admittedly in different ways. Is it a question of being backed by halachic authority, or is it a question, you know, a different kind of a question, you know, malchei paras, or is it just, you know, sort of this zacharim mekevos having the, you know, a kind of a melech like tint to one's office? Okay, so far so good. So I guess that brings us Shimon, right? Did you get to the Gemara Pesachim? Did anybody have a chance to see that just yet? Okay, so Shimon, if you just take the psukim for us, hopefully we'll get there. Okay, so Torah tells us, just like we know that there's a parhelim davar shel tzibur and there's a parkoin mashiach, there's a special karban chatas for the nasi. So the question is, what's a nasi? Right? Sigmar and Horio, Staff Yad Aleph. Right, so like a melech, okay? Nachshon ben Aminadav isn't in charge of anything, as far as we know. So, ba minei rabbi mirib chia, kegon ani mahu besair. Ah, Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, Anasi. The Nasi. So what would he, Asher Nasi Achtar, Rabbi the Nasi says, does that apply to me? So, and he asked Rabbi Chia, it's Talmud Mavak. So he says, Amar Lei, right. Your Tzara is in Bavel. Meaning, no, you apparently answer to somebody. You're not, Ein Al Gabba Vel Hashem Elokav. You're not totally independent.
Usually like more like an equal.
Right. Okay, so maybe.
So if Rabbi and the Reish Galusa are equal, so Hashem would still be the only Bavel.
Right. That's true. If you really think they're equal. That's why I say the implication of the Gemara is that maybe there's some kfifus, yeah. I agree, yeah. Tzara, you know, when it comes to co-wives or whatever, but yeah. your rival could still be like a little bit better than you. It's like when Yeshiva at first says that we're their rival. What they mean is, you know, we're a little bit better. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Right. So Malchi Yisrael and Malchi Beis David, right, they don't answer to each other. But here, right, Hacha Anan Kaifinan Lahula Didhu, we are submissive to them. The question is whether there's any distinction between these two Lashonos. There's a lot to think about there. Rashi? Right, so that responding to your issue, right? The heavy al gabcha, it's not equal. It seems a very similar distinction. So the nafkamina, of course, isn't just, you know, a Sanhedrin nafkamina. This Sanhedrin nafkamina means that somebody who's notel rishus in Eretz Yisrael, if they err in Psak Halacha and Bavel, so they're chayav to be mishalim yiveso. Now we have a second nafkamina, which is what korban do you bring? So it would seem that the nasi sheber Eretz Yisrael doesn't have the din nasi relative to the Reish Glusa, Lu Yitzur, there actually was a Beis HaMikdash, a little bit of a theoretical nafkamina, but still a nafkamina, you know, nonetheless. Okay? Just let's take a look at the Rambam. It's the Rambam Lashitasa, right? He's comfortable with it. Melech Mishar Shifte Yisrael, even from the Kohanim, as we know. So where did the Rambam come up with that?
By the Melech
Mishar. Right, for sure. So it really is Shein Al Gabav Ella Hashem Elokav. It's not that there can only be one so much, right? But they have to really be subject to nobody's authority. That's like the definition of Nasi for these purposes.
So equal.
Right. Equal is okay in terms of this, you know, this korban. So the point that I wanted to bring out is obviously the Reish Galusa was in a time where the Beis HaMikdash was no longer extant. Right? Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, that's the whole point. The Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. But, number two. But it's really interesting because Eitan, to get back to your analysis, and Yossi's Hayara on your analysis, so it sounds like the Reish Galusa, if it really is Midin Melech, then, and there was a Beis HaMikdash, so what would happen? They would bring the Sire, because they answer to nobody, unless you hold like Rashi. Why do I say unless you hold like Rashi?
Because they answer to the...
Right. It's not really their own internal power. So you see what we've done here. These very subtle distinctions between what you see as the source of somebody's power, if it's their patrilineal descent from Malchus Beis David, right? So it's intrinsic. It seems like they're operating Midin Melech. If it's the fact that the, you know, Xerxes has their back, that's something very different. Yeah, Shimon, go ahead. You wanted to make a point.
So if you hold like Rashi, then for at least for these purposes, they don't really have a close Shimon at all.
Who's they?
The Rishkulia.
It sounds that way, right? Because it's their power isn't really their power. It's the power of the Malchei Paras. It's their cousin in the Israeli army. I think Tosus was leaning more in the direction of saying, you know, Midian Melech. I think we could do even better than that. I think we could get even more explicit than that. But otherwise, like, why would you... This was Eitan's point, right? Eitan was saying, well, why else would you appeal to that Yerushalmi saying, oh, you're patrilineally descended from Malchus Beis David. Who cares? Your great-great-great-grandfather came on the Mayflower. Big deal. What, are you more American than I am? Unless you're saying that there's some, like, Din Melech here. Okay, so let's at least try to get the Gemara and Pesachim onto the record. We'll probably have to pick it up from there tomorrow, but let's at least try to, you know, get it into the record. Right. It's exactly the same configuration, right? Aval. Okay. Me'eretz Yisrael above lo, kevan de anan, anachnu kafinan lehu, avdinan kavasayhu. And then Ravashi says, well, you know, if you plan on staying there, you're no better than they are. You're one of them. Right? Rabbi Baruchano datu lachzor hava. He never integrated. So Rashi says, Hani milim mi bavel abavel. Yishanim in hagan le'enehen. Yishkan. Okay, it would be fascinating to think about, right? Like an intra-Bavel power struggle. Like the people of Naharda, like, are stronger than the people of Pampadisa, are stronger than the people of Sura, are people that stronger than the people of Matamachsi, are stronger than the people of Mechoza. Right? I can say, like, it would be really interesting. Okay. Aval Meir Tzol Bavel. You have people in Eretz Yisrael prancing around Bavel, practicing their own minhagim. Wow. That's what they call a flex, okay? Ah! This we have not seen. We are subservient. This is a Talmud Bavli, Micah. You know. We are subservient to Bnei Eretz Yisrael, because what do they have that we don't have? Yeah. So Rashi wants to pin it here on Smicha. That's fascinating. So Avdinan Kavasayu. Right, so even though it's hundreds, if not thousands, of miles away, right, they are entitled, they're empowered to practice their own minhagim. They don't have to change their minhagim because they're smuchin. So up until now, we sort of felt, maybe it's a question of the way that it was set up in Sanhedrin. On the one hand, in Eretz Yisrael, they're Gedolim Batorah. And Rabbeinu Tam admitted it, right? Avir Adar Yisrael Machim, these people, they know more in Isser Veheter, they're bigger Talmidei Chamim, but the people in Bavel carry a big stick. And the only question is, where did they get that stick from? Was it their cousin in the Israeli army? Was it Malchei Paras? Or is it because they're descended from Malchei Beis David? That's the way we set it up. Now Rashi throws a complete curveball into this. Maybe the reason that Eretz Yisrael has primacy is not because they're bigger Talmidei Chachamim, but they've got smicha. Smicha.
In your regular chakras location. Mincha can begin now. These students who are traveling, commuting from other communities and are planning on being here for
so,
the optional review day on Thursday.
That's a huge distinction. It's one thing to say that the Bnei Eretz Yisrael, since they come from a greater place, a greater Makom Torah, whatever it is, are going to, you know, not have to change their minhag because, I don't know, we think it's more authentic, whatever it is. So Rashi, like, throws a stun grenade, I think, into the whole sugya. Because he could have said that, right? you could have easily said that. They're Malam de Torah Barabim. They have a greater Torah culture than in Bavel. Fine, you want to say something like that. But you want to say that Eretz Yisrael has more authority because of Smicha? How exactly does Smicha translate to you not having to change your minute? What is, as my mother would say, what does that have to do with the price of tea in China? Anybody else's mother say that? Yours?
I mean, both my parents, along with all my grandparents.
It's more, okay, it's more generational. So the point is, what does having smicha, Gavi, have to do with the fact that you're considered, having smicha, I could understand that, relating to things that have to do with the rabbinate. But to say that you don't have to change your minhag because they have smicha in Eretz Yisrael, like that seems quite surprising to me. It would have made more sense to me, say these people are bigger Talmidei Chachamim. Why should they have to change their minhag? They know more than these people. Okay, so that's the question, at least, that we'll get to, and we'll take a look at the Bali Atosus. But we're already off to a very good start. And Reish Galusa, again, Midin Melech, is obviously the big whale here. Tomorrow we'll go both periods. I know it might not be possible given people's other obligations. If it's possible for people to just spend a few minutes looking over the Makoros, it's great, so that we're in a better position going forward tomorrow. Otherwise, we'll try to take it slow. And anybody who needs to